many of us reflect back on the situation with the sinks this past summer out on Elmsport Road. We remember the inconvenience it caused us. And for a while, I really didn't take it very serious at all until I realized some of the health effects it was having on some of the residents around the area and some of the things that it was creating for those people who lived nearby. I remember one day it was brought up at St. John's Church that we had not been praying for the water to go down. So we prayed that particular Sunday in church there that God would just simply make the water go down so that people's health wouldn't be affected by it, and the issues other than our inconvenience would be dealt with and taken care of, and that we would give God the glory for it. And lo and behold, by the end of the week, the water was completely gone and we were driving on dry ground once again. So we see in the book of Joshua a lot about issues that the people of God deal with and dealt with historically, and that we can reflect on ourselves as we look back on the book of Joshua. We can see its historic significance in that God reveals himself in the events of history and in our lives every day by what he does. People say to me, "I can't see God. Why can't I see God?" I say, you just need to look harder, because he's doing things all around us that are beyond our control, supernatural things to bring us through, to solve the problems and the issues we're dealing with, and to reveal that he's truly a God that he says he is. Also, the book of Joshua reveals God's judgment on all who threaten God's people. So we see these two things. We see God reveals himself in the events of history in our lives by what he does, and we see that God's judgment is on all who threaten God's people. Joshua was a historian in writing the account of the crossing of the Jordan River to the Promised Land, but he was also a theologian in pointing out for us the glorious power that God reveals when we're faced with difficult situations. What he shows us here in his writing and telling us the story, as if he was maybe a fisherman telling the tale of an excursion they went on, catching the big one, or maybe a hunting trip that somebody went on to some remote part of the world and how they came home with this trophy. Joshua writes for us the historical account of how when we are in the difficult situations, God is right there with us, providing for us, that we might be successful. And I think Joshua describes it back in the first chapter as being prosperous and successful in the Lord. We see in these first three chapters that we've dealt with, or in the first two and now the third one, we start to see a dialogue and a response scenario where there's God speaking to Joshua and Joshua responds. Joshua speaks to the people respond. We see this dialogue and response scenario going on. How God speaks, telling Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan and promising him that God will be with the people. And Joshua speaks to the people, telling them to get ready. We see Joshua's response of sending the spies to look over the land in preparation to deal with the people of Canaan as they go into Canaan. And we start to see something here as they cross the Jordan. We remember back in the first chapter, God said to Joshua, "I will be with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And he said, "The Lord your God, the Lord Jehovah, Yeshua, your God, will be with you wherever you go. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you wherever you go." And the spies came back and reported their findings. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given," not "will surely give," but "already has surely given the whole land into our hands, because all the people there are melting in fear because of us." God was dealing with everything that was out in front of them before they even got there. He was already on the scene dealing with that. And all creation was fearing God's people before they even got there. And we see some things now as they get ready to cross the Jordan. Early in the morning, it tells us Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, and they went to the Jordan. This was about 10 miles away from where they had been camping. They went over to the Jordan now, and they camped there before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. So God had talked to Joshua and told Joshua what to do. Joshua spoke to the people and to the leaders, and the leaders spoke to the people telling them what to do. Now, we're now 6 days into this after God had first spoken to Joshua saying, Moses is dead, you're my man, you're going to lead these people. And now they're camped on the banks of the Jordan River. And the orders were, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your position and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark and do not go near it. Here these people were to get ready to go and to cross the Jordan, and the command was for the Levites to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to go ahead, and the people were to stay over 0.5 mile away. 1,000 yards, it's about 3,000 feet. It's over 0.5 mile. They were to stay away from the Ark, revering the holiness and the presence of God. You see, the Ark symbolized the presence of God in the midst of the people. And we see that as Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, get ready for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and they went ahead of them. Because you see, this is the first and foremost thing that they know they needed to do in order to be successful in Canaan, is to let the Lord lead them. As do we today in our lives. Number one, we have to let the Lord lead us. We cannot jump to conclusions and say, I've got to do something. Right now, you hang up the phone and there's an issue, I've got to do something. We got to stop for a moment. We got to put the presence of the Lord in the situation. We have to say, Lord, here I am, standing on Jordan's banks again. And the river seems flooded. And you're the only one that can deal with this situation. I'm going to let you go ahead of me, and I'm going to let you provide for this situation. And we just need to calm down and let God be God. Let His presence enter in. Let Him do His work. Let Him go on ahead of us. That's the problem so many times. People get ahead of God. God says, you're way ahead of me. That's not what I had planned. And we get ourselves in a great big mess. Secondly, we see the Lord says to Joshua, today I'll begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. What? What? That sounds silly. But you see, if they would have listened to the Lord in the first place when they left Egypt, they would have already been in the Promised Land. But no, they sent spies, and the spies came back and said, wow, we got problems, we got issues there. Those people are huge. We can't defeat them. So they wandered around for 40 years in the desert. Now, all of a sudden, they've decided to let the Lord go ahead of them. And they decided to let the Lord tell them what to do. No matter how silly it seemed, they were going to let the Lord tell them what to do. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do and somebody told you what to do and it seemed so silly? Oh, come on. Come on, it's silly. It seems silly. God doesn't want me to do that. It's silly. But you see, God works in the silliness. Because while others are laughing, God's at work, showing that He's God, that He's in control. They decided to let the Lord tell them what to do. And the Lord said, go stand in the river. Tell the priests, just when they reach to the edge of the water, go stand in it. Just stand in it. Something as simple as just stand in it and wait for me to work. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you're going to know that the living God is among you and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Let's all say that 10 times real fast. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. God's presence will go ahead of you. And choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. This is for a little bit later on we'll talk about. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, saying that this is the Lord of the earth, that created the earth, that's in control of the earth, as soon as they set foot in the Jordan, its water flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, here we got these people on the banks of the Jordan River getting ready to cross. God says, just have the priests go up and stand in the water. So they got all ready, they went up, the Ark, the priests of the Ark went ahead of them. They broke camp, and God was in front of them, going to the Jordan. You see, at this point, no matter how silly it seemed, they weren't going to make the same mistake twice. They decided to let the Lord lead them, first and foremost. They decided to let the Lord tell them what to do, no matter how silly it seemed. And they did what the Lord told them, no matter how silly it looked. I want to tell you folks something. If you are not in the Word of God every single day of your life, you will never know the will of God. Because it's in here that we find God's will for our lives every single day. And it's in here that we find comfort when we're staring down the enemy on the other side, no matter what that might be in our lives. But you can't really truly have a relationship with somebody that you don't know unless you get to know them. And the only way to get to know them is to read this day in and day out. And once you read this day in and day out, you soon find that there ain't no flooded river going to overcome your life. I'm a living example of this. I'm standing up here this morning because I believe this and know that this is true, that God has proved this over and over and over to me, that we need to let the Lord lead us. We need to let the Lord tell us what to do, not our neighbors, not the people at work, not the people on Saturday night out where we go. And we need to do what the Lord tells us, no matter how silly it looks, no matter how silly that kid from that little town in Pennsylvania, no matter how silly he looks up front preaching on Sunday morning. The town I lived in, little town, I was the hellion of the town, ripping and tearing around on dirt bikes, and was known by some people to be the worst kid in town just simply because I made a lot of noise and went around on dirt bikes. Well, incidentally, one time around Halloween, one of those people that called me that got their windows soaked and their trees toilet papered pretty bad. And come Monday morning, the phone of my parents' house rang, and they said that they were to have Mike come over and clean this mess up when he gets home from school. My parents laughed and said, "I'm sorry, but Mike was in a motocross race with us yesterday all day, and when he came home, we know he was dead tired and he went right to bed." Incidentally, these were the people that God put me in front of on Sunday morning in my first preaching appointment to preach to every single Sunday morning. How silly? I'll tell you, by the time I left, it was no silly thing. We were all blessed to be together in the Lord's house, to see how the Lord had worked in the situation, not to exalt me, not to say who they were, to bring us all closer to one another and closer to God to exalt us together. And exalt God as God's people. No matter how silly it looks, we need to put the Lord in the lead and let Him tell us what to do. Turn here every single day. When I first received my calling, the first thing they told me was, you need to research every calling in the Bible. How God called every person that He called in the Bible. When I did, I soon realized, yes, God's calling me because He called me in the same way I could relate to these people whom He called. I knew it was not just some far out, far-fetched thing that I was dreaming up myself. It was truly God calling me. And here these people stood, having made the decision to let the Lord lead them, to let the Lord tell them what to do, and to do what the Lord told them. Standing on the banks of the Jordan River. And notice some key words in the following verses. Now and yet. Here's Joshua telling about this.
I can almost see the smile on his face and hear the chuckle inside as he starts to tell this great story about what God did. The people broke camp across the Jordan, and the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, went ahead of all the people, and there they were, over half a mile away from the Ark, and they were getting all ready. And the funny thing is, the Jordan's at flood stage this time of year. So there they stood looking at a flooded river. Wow. And I'll tell you, when you get into these issues in life, it's going to get harder before it's going to get easier. There they stood. What are we going to do now, God? Almost exactly a carbon copy of the people standing at the Red Sea. What are we going to do? And Joshua's saying now, he said, the Jordan's at the flood stage during the harvest, during this time. But yet, that didn't matter. Yet, even though it was flooded, the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, and the water from upstream stopped flowing. It stopped flowing, not just the Jordan, but all the tributaries into it. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. And the water was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel, 2 million give or take, passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. There were no buts, but the river's flooded, but we have no money, but I can't do that. But our car's broken down. But I don't have a job. But I'm too old. But I'm too young. Or the one I love the most is, but that's not my gift. That's not my gift. You see, one cannot linger on the banks no matter how things look. The great Baptist pastor Warren Wiersbe said it best when he said, God knows the way, God leads the way, and God opens the way. We let the Lord lead us and let the Lord tell us what to do and do what the Lord tells us. We will then watch what the Lord does. Historically, that's the story of the Bible. If the Lord is leading you, if you let Him tell you what to do and you obey Him, historically it tells us you'll see His glory, you'll see Him working. We'll watch what He does supernaturally. It's not something that's just going to happen by coincidence. It'll be by the supernatural, powerful, mighty right arm of the Lord. And it will be evident as we watch Him work. There's no way that could have happened, but it did. If we remember, the Lord said to them, I know the Lord has given this land, or the spies, when they were with Rahab. Rahab said, I know the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. We've heard what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you, because the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. How many of you remember that? When we're sitting in the doctor's office, when we're in the procedures, when the bill comes in the mail and the car breaks down, when we're dealing with those issues with difficult people, we remember the Lord God, our God, is God. And you know what God did? He went ahead of the people and He melted their hearts and their courage. He took care of the situation. You see, the Lord doesn't provide a way around it. He opens a way through it. Society has an attitude that man can do anything, that we need no one beyond ourselves to see us through. And our solution is to put on our big boy boots or our big girl boots and deal with it, or to build a bridge and get over it. But God's solution is to ambush the problem and to cut it off. But that will not happen until we allow God to be God, till we let Him lead us, tell us what to do, and be obedient to what He says, and then and only then will we cross over on dry ground. Safely. 2 million people. 2 million people in the span, I believe it's 17 miles that the river was dried up. 2 million people going through. And God made it happen. He makes it happen for His people. And I don't know what your condition is or your situation or the issue is. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's sexual. Maybe it's chemical and drugs or alcohol. Maybe the issue is religion itself. Or maybe it's relational with family or a spouse. Maybe it's vocational with your work. Maybe it's emotional, dealing with anger or jealousy or pride. And I want to tell you something. You will never solve anything with anger or pride. Nothing will be solved with anger or pride. That was not ever the way problems were solved biblically for God's people. It's okay to be angry, but you don't let that anger play out as your way of solving the problem. You don't get on the phone and tell that guy the way it is. I'm going to tell him what I think. That never solved anybody. Never solved any problem with anybody. God makes it happen for His people because He says to His people, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The question is, are we His people? That's the key question. Are we His people? Are we His covenant people that He's taken to be His own? In the Old Testament, it tells us that His covenant people were the heirs of Abraham. In the New Testament, it tells us His covenant people are heirs of Christ. So together through faith in Jesus Christ, as John tells us, He came to His own rejected Him, yet to those who believed in Him, to those who received Him, He gave the right to become His children, children of God, His own, that He would protect, that He would never leave nor forsake, that He would part waters for. This is the same God that parted the Red Sea. This is the same God who made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and told a man to build an ark to save his family. This is the same man who, the same God who created the heavens and the earth, created Adam and Eve, created all that we see, and you say, well, I see God every day. There's so much more to God that can be revealed in our lives. If we let Him lead us, let Him tell us what to do, do what He tells us, we'll stand back and we'll see what the Lord will do. They crossed over on dry ground, and you will too, because the Bible tells us that God will never leave nor forsake His people. And I hope that's your hope this coming week. I hope you get in His Word and get to know Him as a God who can conquer all things, and that you see Him every day of your life this week, providing everything that He provides for His people. Let's pray. Lord God,